Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We talked last week about the fall of mankind, how that mankind sinned and partook of the forbidden fruit, and that he took upon humanity the sin nature, and everyone from that point on would be born with a tendency to do evil instead of good. And when you think of that, it don't make you feel very good about yourself, but there's a tendency in all of us to do what is wrong instead of what is right until we're born again of God's Spirit. Amen. You can see it in little children. The first thing they learn to learn is the word no. And some of them grow up and don't ever learn it. Anyway. But it's the sin nature that mankind has to deal with, and God wants us to overcome that. And you can be born again of God's Spirit. And the Bible says, having been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. So we can be turned to the Lord. But in the book of Genesis chapter 4, I want to talk to you about the way of Cain this morning. That may not sound like a victory sermon, but I believe if we really look into this, we can find out that we don't want to go the way of Cain. But let's read about it. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it came to pass in the process that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain arose against Abel his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you, a fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. In verse 16, if you'll skip down, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here, and I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. Instruct us in righteousness, I pray, Holy Spirit, your work and your will be done today, God, at the ministry of the Word. We ask in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. The way of Cain. Cain is mentioned several times in the Scripture, always in a negative way. And so the way of Cain represents a sin nature entering the human race. We know it entered through Adam and Eve, who sinned in the garden, and we know that God immediately realized they were naked, and they sewed themselves fig leaves together to cover themselves, which God rejected, and gave them animal skins instead, which would require the shedding of the blood. And if they were saved, their acceptance of God's covering was their salvation, but it did require the shedding of blood. So the way of Cain here now, they had children and may have had daughters before Adam or for Cain and Abel. But when Cain was born, you know, Eve said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. And wives, don't look at your husband. I've seen some things that didn't come from God. Wasn't that? But here she has, this was probably in hopes that this son perhaps would be the one that God would use to bring people out of the sin bondage. Because it's prophesied in the 15th verse of the third chapter, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So through humanity would come a Savior that could redeem mankind from the sin nature that he'd acquired through disobedience in the garden. Okay? So here, so Cain's way represents the way of a sinful nature and tendency to do evil instead of good. And what awful things resulted from one act of disobedience from the first humans, Adam and Eve. If they could have seen what it would do to future generations, I believe they had some idea, because God didn't leave them in complete ignorance. They knew not to partake of what God said not to partake of, but they did and acquired a sin nature which would be born into every human ever since, including you and I. And it would take an act of God to bring mankind to the place of deliverance from this sin nature. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so it would take a spiritual birth in order for mankind to receive eternal life and also to be forgiven and delivered from the nature of sin. Okay? And it's expressed in Scripture that the first Adam failed, referring to the one in the Garden of Eden. And the second Adam, referring to Christ, did not fail, which was Christ. And Christ is the only one that lived a perfect, pure, sinless life. He's the only one that completely lived all of his years here and never sinned against God. He fulfilled all of the law. He's the only one who never broke the law. Amen. He kept the law and he fulfilled it. And Jesus said in himself, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. And he did by his life. And so that's the reason that by faith in him, we can receive the righteousness of Christ, and therefore God, the Father in heaven, can look at us as his children. Praise God. And so we see that the first Adam failed, the second Adam, Christ, did not fail. But you cannot approach God apart from sacrifice. The only sacrifice that God will accept is that of his Son. All the killing of animals, bulls, and goats, and lambs of the Old Testament all pointed to one place, and that is there would be a perfect lamb one day that would come that would take away the sin of the world. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming one day, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so we know that it takes God's work, and we can only be redeemed by God's work and his Son. And God accepts no mighty work. He accepts no payment that people can make for sin. Amen. It takes the blood of Christ. It took God giving heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten Son, to atone for our sins. And 1 Peter 1:18-19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received by the vain conduct of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Christ was perfect, and his life was complete without sin in his humanity. Amen. He never began. The only beginning that Jesus ever had was in humanity. Before that, he was always eternal and with God. He never began anywhere as God. His only beginning was in humanity. And his only end was in humanity. And he is forever God. Amen. And so Jesus never dies. Amen. He dies physically, but he never dies spiritually. And he is always with the Father, and he is eternally the Son of God. Praise the Lord. And so, let's look at the way of Cain here for a minute, if we may. The way of Cain is a way of unrestrained anger. How many of you have been angry? Three of you are honest. I mean, how many have ever been mad? I mean, red-faced, eye-popping, foot-stomping mad. And I won't press you any further. Road rage can make you that way. That you be behind some older person that stopped at a stop sign, and you're saying, go, go, you've stopped already. That stop sign's not going to turn green. So anger is something we all deal with. And here, Cain would have the opportunity either to overcome anger or let it rule him. But the way of Cain became unrestrained anger. And the teaching of shedding of blood had been taught to Cain and Abel. Abel knew to offer something that was alive because something had to die in order to atone for his sin. In verse 5 there, we find that Abel brought the firstling of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. You know, he had grown stuff in his garden. He was a tiller of soil, and Abel was a shepherd. And so they brought their offering to God, and there was nothing wrong with Cain's offering. It just really wasn't offered in faith. And also, it did not have any shedding of blood to it, so there was really no atonement for Cain's sin. He hadn't come to the place where he realized something had to die in order for him to live before God. And so he was angry. And anger, unrestrained anger, is not a work of the Spirit, it's a work of the flesh. And how many foolish things have people done in a moment of anger? I mean, we could have a testimony service here if we had an honest one. We've probably all done foolish things angry in times when we were mad at something. Okay? You're looking to me for an illustration. I'll be honest. This is me. Okay. I arrived home several years ago to my house where I live now. I don't forget what it was that made me angry, but I had a plastic glass, insulated glass in my hand, and I got out and I just threw the thing on the ground, and it broke to pieces. And it was a stupid thing to do, but I sure did teach that glass a lesson, didn't I? So people do foolish things when they're angry. How much different it was that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he taught whoever's angry with his brothers without a cause, you know, is in danger of judgment. And Jesus taught us to love our enemies. And Jesus' teaching was quite different from the sinful nature. Jesus didn't teach people to sin. Jesus came to deliver people from sin. Praise God. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament it says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. God is saying there in Scripture, if you're angry at somebody or something, take care of it before the sun goes down. He's saying, just get rid of it right then. Don't let it linger there because anger grows. And so Cain here, he was very angry, and his countenance fell. I mean, he had a sad sack face. I don't know if that's work or not. It's my English. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? And so here we find that God was going to lead him to the way of repentance. But Cain took the way of no repentance and no acknowledgement of sin. In verse 6 here, we find that, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so upset about all this, Cain? Cain, we know that you can take care of this. We can take care of this. God began to talk to him. It's amazing that God would speak with him and talk to him and try to do something about it. God was not angry with Cain. God wanted to help Cain to be restored to fellowship that he needed to be and restore him where he would bring an acceptable sacrifice to God. Okay? But we find here that Cain had no regret, just anger at God and Abel. Amen. Somebody said that Adam and Eve were the first people to raise Cain. Well, they were, but in a literal sense here, as a child, as one of their sons. But there's no regret, just anger at God and at Abel. In the book of Jude, verse 11, it says, only has one chapter, but it says, woe to them, for they have gone into the way, speaking of false teachers, they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily after the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Okay? So they have gone in the way of Cain, false teachers had that Jude was dealing with here. And so it's a way of no repentance, and it's away from God. And my friend, people had no greater revelation of God than they had in the early beginnings of creation. It is believed that Adam and Eve walked literally with God in the cool of the day and fellowshiped with their Creator. And God talked to them. As a matter of fact, in one place, God gets very personal with Moses and spoke to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I want to tell you, I believe that God wants a personal relationship with us. Amen. And God we don't go up to God, but God condescended to us because he loves us and cares for us. Praise the Lord. And so Cain went the way of no repentance, because the way of Cain is no repentance. And Abel went the way of acknowledgement of his seriousness of his sin, realized that something needed to die in his place in order for him to live. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. And so Abel's offering of one of his flock and shedding blood, that still speaks to us today, and that was an example for on to be fulfilled in Christ, who shed his blood for us, the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. And so we know the way of repentance was not Cain's way. He didn't want to repent. And there is no sorrow for sin, only anger for no acceptance of his works. Somehow, Cain thought he could work good enough, raise a good enough crop, and offer God some of his vegetables, and as if God needed them, and somehow could atone for the sin that he had. But there was a deeper sin in Cain than just offering the wrong sacrifice. He did not wish to repent. He went the way of self, and the way of Cain is the way of self. Okay? And verses 5 through 7 tell us there that, tell us about the way of self. And the way of self is not the way of faith. Whereas Abel went the way of faith, he believed that God could atone for his sin. He believed, and he offered the best that he had, and which would require the shedding of blood. And so he offered the best of his flock. And then under the law, later on, it would require the firstborn of the flock. And in an animal sacrifice, as in the Old Testament, the animal that was offered to God as atonement for sin, it had to be a lamb without blemish, without spot. It couldn't have a broken leg or a bad eye or a bad ear or anything. It had to be a perfect lamb. And so no doubt Abel gave his best to the Lord here, but Cain did not. And Cain's offering represented an offering given to God by works. And this was a sin nature revealing itself. Maybe he was saying, like some people, I don't need anything. I can please God. I can do this my own way. Amen. Maybe I can just do this and God will accept me. Surely my work is good enough that God himself will accept me. Wrong. And it says in 1 John 3 and 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. His sacrifice was about what he thought was acceptable when he had been taught by God that shedding of blood was necessary to atone for sin. This was brought out. It's not that Cain didn't know any better. He did know better. Because his mother and daddy had to have skins of animals upon them, which would require the shedding of blood for them to be acceptable and to be covered by God. Okay? And the New Testament surely teaches that. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no reconciliation to God, no account with God, no getting to God unless it comes through the blood of Christ. Amen. So the way of self is the way many approach God. Years ago, I was talking to a man out in Clear Lakes. This is not a cut against Clear Lakes, but this is us men. Another man was out there witnessing to people. And I came across a guy that he was sitting there fooling around with something, younger guy. He's probably 35 or 40. That sounds young now. And he was he had a can of beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand. And I talked to him just a little bit. I was kind to him. I said, do you feel like you're ready to meet God? I think he already knew the answer. But I said, do you feel like you're ready to meet God? And he was nice in his talking. He wasn't mad. He said, I've lived a good life, and I don't think I'll have a problem when I stand one day before God. And I began to witness to him, tell him about Jesus, that he needed to ask God into Christ into his heart to forgive his sins, come in. And his response was pretty much negative the whole time. And so he thought somehow or another, going the way of self, I'm good enough, and I don't think I'll have a problem, and I don't need anything that anybody has to offer me. It reminds me of an old song. It wasn't a good song. It's an old song. It said, "Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about." Let me tell you something, friend. We need God to tell us what it's all about. Praise the Lord. But God's way of dealing with Cain is one of mercy, love. God was not angry with Cain. God attempted to lead him to repentance. And God was saying to Cain, you don't have to be this way. Verse 7, he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? God was saying to Cain, if you just turn and do the right thing, you'll be accepted, just like Abel was. And he says, and if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God mercifully was speaking to Cain here and says, there's a way out of this. He says, there's a way out of this, but you've got to repent. And God's way was to lead Cain to repentance. God didn't say, I've had enough of you, Cain. I can't stand you. You weren't worth much when you were born to start with. God didn't approach him that way. God said, there's a way out of this, Cain, because he loved Cain's soul as he loved my soul and yours when we were saved. Praise God. And so God's way was to lead Cain to repentance, a place of acceptance and a place of settling things with God. And I want to tell you something, friend. Reconciliation or having a settled account with God means everything. And that's taken care of by our faith in Christ on the cross and what he did for us. But here, this was the love of God revealed here in the Old Testament. God loved Cain, hated his sin, but wanted to restore him. Because you see, restoration is still God's way. God does not want to condemn people. He doesn't want to run people away. He wants to restore people to fellowship with him. It doesn't mean that God is going to become softer on sin than he used to be. God has never changed about sin. God hated sin. God still hates sin. Sin is not something that God will accept, but God will accept people who turn to him in repentance, and he will restore them. Amen. How many times have you failed God since you've been saved and you've had to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry I sinned. I said something wrong. I did something wrong. Would you please forgive me? And God restores you to fellowship with him. That doesn't give us a license just to go sin all the time that the flesh wants to, because it always wants to, but it makes us know that God hasn't quit and God has not given up on us. That God's will is to lead people to reconciliation and to restoration so that you can walk in victory as a child of God. Were there people in the Bible that failed and had to be restored? Oh, absolutely. The Bible's full of them. The one that comes to mind is, in everybody's mind probably, is the sin of David with Bathsheba. It came the time of the spring when people went out to battle, and David's men went out to battle, and he stayed home. And he was the leader of the army and everything. He should have been in the where they were. But he walked out of his porch one night and saw a beautiful woman bathing, whose name was Bathsheba. He knew the story. And we know that he committed adultery with her. And we know that he sent letters to Joab, the commander of the army, to have Uriah, the wife of Bathsheba, to be killed in battle. So David broke all the commandments. He bore false witness against his neighbor. He committed adultery. Amen. And he rejected the commandment of God. And the Bible says that the thing that David did displeased the Lord. And God sent Nathan the prophet to him and told him about his sin, and David repented. And his prayer of repentance for that sin is in Psalms 51. And where David prays and he says, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. And David prays, and God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. So he prayed, and God restored him. But as Nathan the prophet told him, he said, what you have done, you've given great occasion to the enemy, and the sword will never depart from your house. You see, God forgave him and God restored him, but there were consequences to David's sin. Later on, his son Absalom would rise up against him and do everything he could to take his kingdom away from him and tried to kill his own father. And Absalom committed adultery with all his father's wives and concubines on the roof in the sight of the whole nation. I want to tell you something. There's a payment to be made for sin. So when you turn from God and you know what you're doing is wrong, like David knew, if he had that one choice to do over, he would never have walked out on his roof that night. He wouldn't have sinned, committed adultery. He wouldn't have bore false witness. He would have done none of those things. Yet God forgave him. God restored him. He was one of the greatest kings of Israel. But yet, it affected him in a terrible way. But yet God restored David. And so God does restore people. But the way of Cain is the way of self. So my friend, don't be ruled by self or selfishness or self-centeredness. Be Christ-centered in your life. Start your day with God. I know it's a simple thing. Read your Bible and pray. Talk to God. Have fellowship with God. Amen. Don't say, I'll read later when I have time, because you'll never find time. Or I'll pray when I have opportunity. The opportunity is right now. Pray. Amen. So make Jesus Lord of your life. And when we give our life to Jesus, it's not just to say a little sinner's prayer and that's it. We make the choice to give our life to Jesus. Lord, you're in charge. I want you to be in charge. I want you to rule. Sit up on the throne of my heart and rule my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. Man. And when you fail, repent. And so God further dealt with Cain here. And God said, won't you be accepted if you'll turn? But if you don't, sin lies at the door. And sin here is pictured as a vicious beast, like a lion, crouching and ready to seize and overcome and destroy its prey for another meal. And so God was telling that sin is at your door. It's ready to spring on you and to control you and destroy you. That's what sin wants to do. Well, Cain heeded none of God's instruction to repent. And we know that the worst could happen. And sin began to rule Cain's life. And he began to think about, this brother Abel of mine, he's just, he's a pain. I'm not going to put up with Abel anymore. It came to pass that when Cain and Abel were in the field, that Cain killed his brother Abel. Maybe he thought nobody saw, but God saw. God sees everything. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he says, I don't know. You think God still loves lies? He hates lies. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And God further said to him, he says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground. Amen. So you see, the way of separation from God is the Cain way. And said, your brother's blood is crying out from the ground for justice. Because you see, that's what happens. Sin cries out for justice. And God is a God of righteousness, love, yes, but a God of justice and holiness. And so we know that it couldn't just go unnoticed by God that another human being was killed or died. But the blood cried out from the ground, telling God, there needs to be justice here. God knew it. How many times is the blood of unborn babies that have been aborted, how much does that cry out to God for justice? People that are murdered and people that are in human trafficking, people that are mistreated and killed and die like that, they tell us that most, let me just on the woman's side of this, that most women bought in human trafficking are usually eat up with diseases by the time they're 25 or 26 and usually die of STDs by then. Do you think their blood doesn't cry out to God? Amen. And we think that God's just going to overlook everything because in this day he's got more grace than he used to have. He didn't have more grace than he used to have. He has plenty of grace for anyone that needs forgiveness and that comes to God with an open and honest heart. God has more grace, wonderful grace. As a matter of fact, he never runs out of that kind of grace. And sin cries out for justice here. It says, what have you done? What have you done, Cain? Your brother's blood cries out to the ground for me. I've got to do something. And so Cain wouldn't go the way of repentance, but he went away from the way of separation. Verse 16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And the land of Nod means wandering. That's what the word means, Nod. And so it was a land of wandering, a land of no destination, a land of no reconciliation with God. He went out from the presence of God. My friend, you don't want to be away from the presence of God. You want His presence. You want to pray for His presence. So what I pray every week for our services here, that the presence of God would just be able to be felt and known here in the church. And I believe it can be when we worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Amen. I believe we can be in the presence of the Almighty. Just think of it, the God, the creator of heaven and of earth, of everything and all life of that there is, anything that is life that God created, that God would step down to humanity and come down to me or you. That's a wonderful thing. It's an act of God's grace. But he went out from the presence of God never to return, completely separated from the love and the mercy of God forever. And there's something that it's hard for me to deal with, more than one thing, but this, to think that a person separated from God, instead of choosing Christ, would choose a life of sin, and their cries for help and mercy in a lake of fire never be heard by God forever. I do not want anybody to die and go to hell. You don't want to. Amen. You don't want to be separated from the love and the mercy and the hope and the grace of God forever. Good news, you don't have to be. Praise the Lord. And he went out from the presence of the Lord never to return. Today, people without God are in a land of wandering, the land of Nod. In a land of no answers, no peace, no love, and no hope. My friend, you don't want to go the way of Cain. You want to go the way of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. But thank God we can come to the Father through him. My friend, you can have a life that's free from guilt. You can have a life that's free from shame, free from rejection. And God will accept you, amen, to the way of love and hope and eternal life. Amen. And we as Christians, as believers today, we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, Christ, is eternal life to us. Amen. We can have eternal fellowship with God. We can be in His presence forever, have eternal peace. Peace this world can never give us. Has never been able to produce, but God can give us peace now while we walk this walk and eternally forever. If you want to know what heaven is going to be like, you can look at the fruit of the Spirit and you can see that God is all of that. The fruit of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is not something you get. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Spirit is something you get, something God gives. It could be in the eternal presence of God, never separated from Him. So, my friend, you don't want to go the way of Cain. You want to go the way of Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord.